Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now in the Kirby family studio is Jennifer Canton. She's a registered nurse. She's in the emergency room, and she is a sexual assault nurse examiner and heading up the SANS program at Avera. So, Jennifer, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start and talk. You've been awarded a $4.5 million grant to expand sexual assault exam services through eCare through Avera.
Correct.
So let's start and talk a little bit about, let's start with the need, about why this is needed in rural areas.
So the rates of sexual assault are not going down. They're steadily increasing, first of all. And in the rural areas, there's not as many SANE nurses available as there are in larger urban areas. And so when a patient comes into the ER in a rural facility and reports a sexual assault, they're not specifically trained in caring and providing care and the evidence collection for that patient.
Okay, so SANE is a sexual assault nurse examiner.
Correct.
Right. Okay, so this is a specialization that you're trained to do.
Correct.
And talk a little bit about the philosophy of what this exam really is. It's not so much about evidence collection, but it's about patient care.
Correct. Our main focus is patient care and helping them on the road to recovery after this incident. Of course, we do the evidence collection, but that's our small part of what we do. We're really focused on providing trauma-informed, patient-centered care. Studies have proven that the care they receive immediately post-assault has a huge effect on their long-term recovery, and that's our main goal, is helping them recover and process through everything that happened.
So talk a little bit about what you say to the patient.
So really, when you approach an assault patient, it's putting the control back in their hands, because that's been taken from them in this assault. So it's going in, sitting down, talking with them, listening to their story, and then giving them options of what they can do post-assault. They don't have to have the evidence collection. They don't have to do anything they don't want to. Even if they do want part of the evidence collection, it's not an all-or-nothing thing. They can pick and choose. And it's really giving them a chance to decide what happens, who hears their story, what they tell, what's collected, and then being that compassionate ear for them to talk to and tell their story to.
And is this always an emergency room visit?
Most of the time it is. Most of SANE nurses are in ERs. Sometimes there are some like standalone clinics that do these as well, but around in this area it's in the ER.
And when all female, can I make that assumption or no?
That
patients?
Oh no, we see male patients as well.
Okay. So when the patient comes in and has a trauma, is there an optimum time period from the time the assault to the time they come in?
Well, we'd prefer as soon as possible. The sooner they get in, the more likely we'll find evidence. But they have currently right now, the way our state, South Dakota State kit is set up, it's up to 120 hours or 5 days that we will collect evidence.
Really?
So they have a little time, yeah.
There's time.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become this certified nurse examiner?
So I've always had an interest in it ever since I was in nursing school and I heard that there was something called a forensic nurse. I was interested in it. Of course, you want to have some general nursing experience first before you go into this. So I went down that route. And then when the chance came for me to take this training at McKinnon, they were forming a team of SANE nurses. And so they offered the training and I jumped right on it. I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. So.
Okay. And now you're leading the whole program.
Correct.
Okay. So talk a little bit about this $4.5 million grant and the different steps that you're going to take before it's widely used.
So the process is, like I said, these rural facilities do not have SANE nurses, or they might have one that just can't be around all the time, right? So the process is going into these facilities, helping them develop policies, procedures, get supplies ready, education, training for their staff to care for these patients, and then we're going to be providing support as well when these patients come into their ER. So we'll be on camera helping them complete this medical forensic exam and evidence collection.
So you really have a person in the room and a person on the screen.
Correct.
Okay. And are all rural facilities set up with these screens, these cameras? Is it something that needs to be developed?
So currently the way our first sites that are set up already have it. They have the e-emergency service through Avera Health, and so it's going to be just a division of that.
Okay. And so you have four sites that are operating now, correct?
Yep.
All Avera sites.
Correct.
Okay. You can list them.
Flandreau, Del Rapids, Wagner, and Yankton.
Okay. And then what's the next step?
So then we have a list of, I think it's 11 other sites right now that we're going to be rolling out to. And we do it in phases because, like I said, there's a bit of a setup process and education process. So we'll set out about two at a time is what we're kind of set up to do. And just keep rolling them out. We have a whole bunch of sites already planned for the next 3 years to start this.
And that's all part of this grant.
Correct.
Is to continue to expand it. Ultimate goal is?
To be in every site that has the Avera e-emergency. We'd like to also offer this service.
So it's not necessarily an Avera facility. It's throughout the entire Midwest.
Correct. And actually throughout the whole country. We have sites down in Texas, Vermont, everywhere. So
if the technology is there, the service will soon follow?
Correct.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the victim who comes in. And how receptive are they to being on camera? And is it recorded? Is it live? Is it how are they with this technology?
So it's not recorded, first of all. It's a live feed. We don't record anything. We don't maintain any records, you know, of the conversations at all. Really, it just involves us going on camera and giving them education first, making them feel comfortable that we're on camera, we're there to help them. Nothing's recorded. We're not going to discuss anything outside of this room. And there is a program already that has been running these, and they haven't had any issues with people declining them or feeling like they didn't want to be on camera. If that does come up, though, then we are more than willing to help the facility walk through this exam and evidence collection just over the phone if they have questions, and we can walk them through it that way. We just want to make sure that we provide this service to the patient and they get the best care possible.
But it's counseling first.
Mm-hmm.
Before you don't just dive into the evidence collection.
No. Really, the evidence collection is the last piece of it. You first sit down and give them education, like I said, of their post-assault options and talk about what happened. Then the evidence collection comes later.
And you told me that South Dakota has just a really high rate of sexual assaults.
Unfortunately, it does. Currently, our numbers are about 1.5 times the national average per capita. And a few years ago, our state was ranked second, just under Alaska, for our rate of rapes. So we have a high rate around here. A lot of people are not aware of that.
Is there an area in the state that is higher than others?
No. And those numbers don't actually take into account like tribal numbers or anything. Those are just our numbers. So there's not any one specific area that's.
And do you feel like yours are higher because you have this service? I mean, you have to kind of count that. Does that, because that's who they go to or no?
No, I wouldn't say they're higher because we have SANE nurses, because actually lots of other states have SANE nurses and a large number of them. So that's not really a factor in the number that are reported. It's just, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the emotional toll that this job would have on you.
It can. That's actually a conversation I have with staff when they apply and want to be part of this team, is making sure that they have that honest conversation with themselves about what they're going to be dealing with and if they can handle it, because it is an emotional job. And we're never called in for, you know, a happy thing. It's always because something bad has happened. And so you have to have some coping mechanisms yourself to be able to deal with this.
And what are some of those honest questions you have to ask yourself?
Well, first, it's if you have a history of any type of abuse or assault yourself, because that can trigger those memories.
So you shouldn't be a SANE nurse you do?
No. If you do, that's fine. You just want to make sure that you're, like I said, honest with yourself about what's happened and your ability to deal with it. And some people don't realize until they get into it that it's you know, going to trigger them or have more emotional toll than they thought. And that's fine. You're not always going to be aware, you know. But at least if you can have that initial honest conversation with yourself, if you know certain situations are hard for you to deal with, then, you know, you want to take that into consideration. It's also really important to have a large group or, I mean, even a smaller group of close peers that you can discuss cases with. Just even bouncing a case off of another sane nurse and discussing what happened it helps a lot. Just talking that out.
Yeah, because you can't take this home and talk about it because of HIPAA rules, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you have to have that support system within the hospital.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Whew. Okay. So $4.5 million as a grant coming your way. What do you see next steps down the road as you expand this out? And it's the money goes to training, the money goes to technology, yes?
Yep, we'll be providing colposcopes and cameras to the site so they can take forensic photography, they can have the best exam capabilities for looking for any type of injuries or anything like that. Then there's also providing advocacy services, coordination with law enforcement, and actually we're also going to have resources with behavioral health as well. So if they need those, they'll be available.
Additional counseling, additional conversations to be had.
Correct.
So if a victim comes in and you do the evidence collection, but they choose not to press charges, what happens with the evidence?
It's stored still. So, and that is state specific. So right now in South Dakota, if they come in and they want the evidence collection, but they don't want to talk to law enforcement, it's called an anonymous report. The kit is still turned over to law enforcement. We just don't put their name and date of birth on the outside of the kit. So it's just assigned an ID number. And then that kit is stored for up to a year, currently, is what our state statute says, while they decide if they want to go forward with it, if they want to talk to police. Hmm. Each state is different, though. So when we get into the other states, that might vary. But
you have the record, though, of what name goes with what number.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. But nobody else has that. That's confidential.
The patient is given their number, so they have it.
Okay.
But then it's confidential in our records.
So they could then say, here's my number. This is me. This is proof. I changed my mind again. I want to go forward.
Right.
Wow. Okay. So next steps after this expansion happens, what do you see coming up next?
Well, we'd like to continue the service like indefinitely and be in all the VERA e-emergency sites, all the e-sites that we can be in, and just help as many rural facilities as possible, as many patients as possible. So,
and how about recruiting other SANS nurses? Is that part of this too?
Yes. We need to make sure we have a strong team, 24/7 coverage, so you have to have a certain number of nurses to provide that. And we're always looking for nurses that are interested in this line of work, that have a passion for this patient population.
And so are they assigned to be on call? Is that how it's staffed?
So right now, the way we're staffed is call. It's 24/7 call. Eventually, as we get in more sites and get busier, we're going to have to staff someone 24/7, and that's a phase process we have set up. So
that you'll work on.
Yeah, because the same nurses that are covering e-care are also covering McKinnon, the Westside ER, and the Heart Hospital ER. So they have to be available there as well.
They're already on staff. All right. Jennifer Canton, I want to thank you very much for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.